BBC LearningEnglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Who on Earth Are We? With Mark Beebe. Today Mark looks at culture shock. We start with Dr. Rajni Badlani from the British Council in India describing an experience she had when she first visited Britain.
When I first went to England, I was absolutely shocked. There were three of us, two of us Indians, and there was one English person. Right in the middle of the conversation, he takes out a banana, peels it and starts eating it without even saying excuse me or whatever we expect to be offered.
Dr. Badlani describes a moment when two cultures collided, a moment of culture shock. People who spend time living in another culture have many moments like this. But culture shock isn't simply a series of small incidents that upset or puzzle us. It's more a process. And in fact, it's a process that many of us will have experienced without ever leaving home. To explain further, here's Rebecca Fong, a teacher of intercultural communication at the University of the West of England.
Most of us tend to think of culture shock as a kind of exotic illness that we get when we go to far-off places. But actually, it's not just related to far-off places. It's extremely similar to something that we go through whenever we face any kind of change in our lives or any kind of transition. We're constantly having to deal with the kinds of changes that come with different stages of personal development and different events in your life, like moving house or getting a new job or divorce or bereavement. And all of these things involve us giving up something that we were familiar with and trying to adjust and adapt to something new. Obviously, changes like this are traumatic in different degrees, and they'll be worse for some people than others.
Rebecca Fong. The degree to which people experience culture shock when they visit a foreign country depends on several things. One of the most important of these is cultural distance. How different is the culture that you're visiting from the one that you've grown up in? Then, what is your role in the new culture? Do you have people to talk to, or do you feel terribly lonely? To some extent, this will depend on your personality. But despite these individual differences, there are certain stages to the process of culture shock that most people experience. Rebecca Fong guides us through those stages now, with help and comments from people from around the world. We begin in a positive frame of mind.
Culture shock has been divided up into a process that has roughly five different phases. First of all, there's what's called euphoria or exhilaration, and I've also heard it being called the honeymoon period. It often takes from a few weeks to a few months, depending on the cultural distance, your personality, and all the factors that we've already mentioned. You've got over the panic of the travel and the departure and saying goodbye to your friends, and the journey was very exciting, and you've got lots of things to look forward to, and you arrive, and you're so busy looking for accommodation and the things that you need in that country and getting to know the new people at work, and you tackle all your problems with good humour, and you're far too busy to get at all negative or depressed. It's not until after all this has worn off a little bit that you start to run into some of the problems. The climate will be different. The traffic problems may be very different. Or you may find that the food is not to your liking.
When I was about 18, my aim was to go abroad to study. I decided to come to London. When I first arrived, I was only probably around 19. What surprised me was the journey from the airport. It was drizzling. It was middle of October. I was in a bus. I was looking at the dark rooftops. It all seemed very, very strange. But soon enough, I managed to find my ground. I managed to find a place to live in and go and start working in the city of London. Now, the interesting thing is that I didn't know that I was that different, which is so obvious now, but at the time, somehow, the issue of race was not an issue that I had ever confronted in my life. So I think this would happen to people who move from one racial group or culture to another.
You begin to realise that you're an outsider. And although the people from that country are being polite and fairly kind towards you, you start to realise that they don't actually understand what the problems are for you. And you start asking questions, but in a way, they're veiled criticisms. You can feel yourself being critical about the culture. You might begin to lose your sense of balance. You might begin to lose your sense of humour. You might begin to think about your own culture very fondly, and in fact, you might, without knowing it, idealise or over-idealise your own culture, romanticise it. Think about how everything at home is wonderful. You could get quite exaggerated ideas of how it is back home in this particular stage. A lot of people get to this stage, suffer it for a while, and then give up.
When I was abroad, I started to feel quite homesick for England, which is part of the reason why I came back. I was missing the kind of politeness that you get in English society, in everyday life, in the supermarket, in the post office, where people greet you and they say thank you and then they say goodbye, just in a kind of way which acknowledges that you're talking to another human being. When I came back to England, I found that it's not really that different, but actually it's the same as it was abroad.
BBClearningEnglish.com.
If you can get past this stage, you come into what's been referred to as recovery, or technically the process that's called acculturation, the learning process, the process of change over time, where your contact with that culture seems to improve and you integrate better with the culture. Language skills, of course, improve over time, and this is one of the things that helps you in this stage. You might find your sense of humour coming back, and you actually make more effort to become part of the community, make friends, and find out about the manners and customs of the particular place that you're in. So in this stage, you're learning, and that brings you rewards which will eventually help you recover from your culture shock. But at this stage, you can still feel superior to the host culture and have some difficulty in completely letting go of your own ideas and supplanting them with the ideas of the new culture.
When I first came to Britain, I did not know who I was. And as I discovered Britain, I also discovered myself. And this is also very important when people move from one culture to another, one place to another, because it's not just discovering the other place, you also discover who you are. And that discovery took place over a number of years. You know, the first instance, you wanted to be embraced by the culture you went into, you wanted to feel at home, then you had a sense that, oh, well, they were not quite accepting you, so you had to find out who you were in order to relate to something that belongs to you. So it can be quite a severe battle between the culture you are in and the culture that you belong to. And then slowly you reach a compromise and you learn to live with it and you learn to live with yourself.
It's not until the next stage, which is stage four, that you really adjust properly and start to appreciate the culture for what it is. You start to understand the values and the norms of that culture and its customs for what they really are. You might even begin to believe that some of their values are better than your own. But that's not necessarily the end of the wave, because if you ever find yourself going back home after your period abroad, you might find quite some difficulty readapting to your own culture. People will be pleased to see you, of course, and you'll have been longing to talk to your family and friends about your experience. But pretty soon, they won't be interested in asking you questions about your having lived abroad, and you'll find yourself wanting to convey the information that you've learnt, but having no real audience to do it with. So it can be quite a challenge going back home, and sometimes this can be referred to as reacculturation or re-entry shock.
People change. I'm really conscious of changing. Every year I go back to Tokyo, and then as soon as I see my family, my friends, first couple of hours, that's all right. But after that, I feel that I'm distancing myself from their emotion. And sometimes even my parents says that I get cold towards them. I'm not, but the way I show my affection is changing. But you can't really explain that to the people who've never been out of the country.
If we go on holiday for a couple of weeks to another culture, we don't necessarily need to go through any of these phases. We'll really be in phase one, the euphoric stage, and not get past that. We'll never really have to deal with the culture. We're actually cushioned from it during our time there. People who stay a bit longer, periods of, say, up to 6 months to about 5 years, have obviously got a much more demanding job on their hands. You'll have to find accommodation, you'll have to learn the language, you'll have to learn the culture. But you know that at the end of that time, you will be able to go home. There's an escape clause if you want one. There are groups of settlers, however, who'll stay for long periods. Immigrants, for example. Whatever the reason they come, they're not planning on going home.
I came to this country on the 6th of October of 1933, among the first refugees from Nazi Germany, as the British government officially called us. By living in this country for 67 years, I have been changed. I have become more tolerant than I was. I shall never be English. One remains what one was as a child, because childhood impressions are the strongest. I would describe myself as anglicized, because I'm no longer German the way I was.
Ilse Meyer, who was brought up in Germany, ending our survey of the stages of culture shock. You also heard from Mahmoud Jamal from Pakistan, Devon Crone from England, Kyung Ja Yu from Japan, and, of course, Rebecca Fong. Next week, in our last programme, we'll be reviewing some of the main points we've covered during the series and hearing some very useful tips on how to communicate better with people from different cultures. Before we finish today, though, a final message from Rebecca on the subject of culture shock. And the message is, don't despair. Join us next time.
One of the most important things that's happened to me in my life, I suppose, is reading about these different phases of culture shock and realising that they're an inevitable part of learning about another culture. They're the most difficult part and the most profitable part, and they do take time. So one of the things that can really help us is to realise that however frustrated we feel at some point in our cultural journey, there will be a way out and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And the more times that we experience culture shock, the easier it's going to get for all of us.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.